Hello everybody and welcome to today's video. Now today I'm going to be reviewing and adding commentary to Keir Starmer's recent press conference on immigration that took place on November the 28th of this year. Now this is really, really interesting, and when people initially were sending me clips from this press conference, I didn't think they were real. I actually thought they were AI generations. I thought somebody had cleverly put together a piece where Keir Starmer seemed to be admitting the Great Replacement was real, and this was going to go around on social media, and then someone was going to reveal it was either a joke or fake news, or the person who made it was going to say, look, I did this to make a point because the government's destroying the country. And then I Googled it and I saw it was real. I saw it was true. Keir Starmer had actually held a 17-minute press conference where he'd said some of the most interesting things I've ever seen an elected politician say. And he isn't just an elected politician. He's not just an MP. He isn't just a minister. He's the Prime Minister. And that makes this even more interesting. And yes, I have discussed this issue on other streams before, but I think when you discuss this, it's much better if you play the piece in full, and that's what we're going to do today, play the full 17-minute press conference and add commentary over the top and stop it when necessary and begin to discuss what Starmer said and the implications of what Starmer has said. And those implications are for the nationalist community. They're also for other political parties and the political structure here in the UK. They're for the public. And of course, there are implications for the long-term demographics of this country, which is really what we're all about. That's what we're here for. Most people watching this video will be nationalists, will be concerned about mass immigration and demographic shifts. So has what Starmer has said been significant enough to make a difference? Will this lead to any change in immigration policy? We're going to look at that. We're going to answer all of those questions and we're going to do a deep dive. So let's get started and we'll see what he has to say.
Good afternoon. When we came into office, we immediately conducted an audit of the public finances and we found a £22 billion black hole. Now, the Independent Office of National Statistics has conducted vital work on the state of immigration and found the previous government were running an open borders experiment.
Well, that's the first point where really we want to start discussing what he said. And this is significant because Starmer has used the term open borders experiment. Now, I've been around for quite a long time and I was active in the British National Party from 2000 to 2010. So that was a decade within the British National Party when the party was at its height. And during that period, I attended countless local branch meetings. And that kind of rhetoric, open borders experiment, multicultural experiment, social experiment, those were the phrases regularly employed by people speaking at those meetings. In fact, I think I've heard Nick Griffin say that on countless occasions when I've sat alongside him at these meetings and he's been addressing or was addressing packed pubs full of people all around the country. This isn't the kind of rhetoric you hear from mainstream politicians, let alone a prime minister. And the other interesting thing is, I'm sure people who weren't around in that time have heard phrases like that as well, because again, I've seen countless social media influencers and content creators use that kind of phraseology, say things such as open border experiments. So this is very, very significant right off the bat. Anyway, let's continue.
As the ONS sets out, nearly 1 million people came to Britain in the year ending June 2023.
Again, this is hugely significant. We're only a few seconds in. He's already used this phrase, open border experiment. But now he's hitting us with the figures. year ending June 2023, Keir Starmer is stating that the ONS have admitted that nearly a million people came to Britain and stayed here. So net migration was nearly a million. Now, the exact figure that the ONS have said is 906,000, which is huge. And when Starmer's saying a million, I think that would be taking into account illegal migrants, people who have overstayed their visa and just sort of disappeared into the system and are unaccounted for. And I think it would also take into account a little bit of wriggle room, because originally the ONS estimated that for year ending June 2023, the figures were around 700,000. So this is a massive jump. You know, it's an extra 200,000 people they've added to that. And these figures are often released and then revised upwards. That's the regular trend, because as the truth becomes more apparent, you find actually more people came here and more people stayed here.
That is four times the migration levels compared with 2019. Time and again, the Conservative Party promised they would get the numbers down. Time and again, they failed.
Now, this is another good point. All of this has happened under the Conservative Party. All of this has happened under an establishment that repeatedly won elections on the back of promises on mass immigration. And they've essentially quadrupled, or worse, immigration numbers. So numbers were around, net migration was around 200,000. Now it's close to a million. So it might have been 200,000, it might have been quarter of a million. Now it's a million. So this has been a huge, huge rise in mass immigration under a government that presented itself as the anti-immigration option. And you've got to remember, David Cameron, he came in on the pledge that net migration would be in the tens of thousands. Theresa May got in and she repeated that pledge. The goal was net migration in the tens of thousands. And eventually, Boris Johnson talked about that famous, tough, Australian-style points-based immigration system. Yet here we are.
And now the chorus of excuses has begun. We heard that from the leader of the opposition yesterday. But what we didn't hear, what the British people are owed, is an explanation. Because a failure on this scale isn't just bad luck. It isn't a global trend or taking your eye off the ball. No, this is a different order of failure. This happened by design, not accident.
And that's another good place to stop it, because this is explosive. Usually, when things like this happen, or things like this are admitted, when huge failures occur, they're always written off as a mistake, an oversight, bad luck, a series of unfortunate coincidences. And Keir Starmer is here saying none of this was bad luck. None of this was an oversight. None of this was a series of unfortunate coincidences. This was by design. So not only was this an open borders experiment, it was an open borders experiment that was carried out with forethought, planning, and was knowingly endorsed by the then Conservative government. Essentially, what Keir Starmer has just stated is that the conspiracy theory of the Great Replacement or white genocide, whatever you want to call it, is true. It is really happening. It is deliberate. Mass immigration on this scale has been engineered knowingly by politicians. Now, this is incredible. And it's very, very important, because we've been pushing this message for decades. I've been pushing this message since I was first involved in nationalism. And it's always been dismissed as a conspiracy theory. People have been called cranks for pushing this. In fact, I've even had arguments with other nationalists over this particular issue. I remember there was a group of young lads who were involved in a nationalist organisation here in the UK who used to say to me, look, you shouldn't be saying it's deliberate. You know, once you start saying that, you start looking like a conspiracy theorist, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, I think that's what's happening. I think this is all deliberate. These people are not stupid. They have immense amounts of money and resources. They could stop this if they wanted to, but they're endorsing it and they're letting it happen. And now Here is Keir Starmer, as I said, not just an MP, not just an outsider, not even a minister, but the Prime Minister, confirming everything that we as nationalists have repeatedly said.
Policies were reformed deliberately to liberalise immigration. Brexit was used for that purpose, to turn Britain into a one-nation experiment in open borders.
And here he is again, a one-nation experiment in open borders. Again, these words could have come out of the mouth of any speaker at any BNP meeting at the party's height. Or it could have come out of the mouths of any number of social media commentators, content creators, influencers over the past nearly decade, since 2016, when this message started to really gather steam. This is extremely important, but something else that's important is Keir Starmer's actually made a very good point here. This is post-Brexit immigration. Now, during the Brexit referendum, people voted overwhelmingly to leave the EU. And one of the reasons people voted to leave the EU was because they wanted politicians to get mass immigration under control. They were desperate for politicians to get mass immigration down. And they believed that once we were out of the EU, we would take control of our own borders and migration numbers would fall. Now, not only have migration numbers increased since we've taken control of our own borders, but migration has fundamentally shifted, because when we were a member of the EU, the vast majority of immigration into Britain came from Eastern Europe. It was people from Poland, people from Romania, people from Hungary, and that has now been switched out. And the vast majority of immigration is now from the Indian subcontinent, sub-Saharan Africa, and China, with the biggest countries being India, Nigeria, and China. So this has been a huge shift at a time when politicians were telling the public that they were taking back control of Britain's borders. So again, Keir Starmer stopped short of calling the Conservative liars. That's something that politicians don't really do. But he's called them liars in every other way imaginable, without actually using that particular word.
Global Britain. Remember that slogan? That is what they meant. A policy with no support, and which they then pretended wasn't happening.
And again, very important, he attacks the term Global Britain, one step short of attacking the term globalism, maybe. And again, he doesn't call the Conservatives liars, but he does. He's saying, you know, they repeatedly said that they were going to do something about it. They repeatedly said it was going to be under control. They then said it wasn't happening, but it was happening, and they knew it was happening, and they were the ones engineering it. Really explosive stuff up until this point. And I think we're less than 2 minutes in.
And now they want to wave it away with a simple, "We got it wrong." Well, that's unforgivable.
And this is, again, explosive, because what Starmer's added in those few words is something that politicians rarely do. Politicians always wave things away. Politicians always say, "Oh, well, you know, we're sorry. We got it wrong. This was a mistake. Errors were made." And everyone shakes hands and walks away. And Starmer has said that's unforgivable. Unforgivable. Now, again, that's not far off the rhetoric you used to hear at BNP meetings, which makes this so interesting.
And mark my words, this government will turn the page. That begins in the economy, because you cannot separate this failure from their refusal to do the hard yards on skills, on welfare reform, on giving our young people opportunities, rather the easy answers of looking overseas. Because clearly the vast majority of people who entered this country did so to plug gaps in our workforce, skill shortages across the country, which have left our economy hopelessly reliant on immigration.
Again, this is another fantastic point, because what Starmer's saying here is all these people are being brought here to boost endless economic growth to the detriment of normal people. Normal people aren't being trained up. White Brits are not, he doesn't use the term white Brits, but that's what he's dog whistling. That's what he's intimating to the public. Normal people haven't been trained. We haven't been investing in our own people. And instead, we've been importing almost a million people in a single year to take these jobs, to import these skills, rather than investing in our own people. And this is, again, pretty explosive. Again, I'll talk about the time I was in the BNP. We spoke about this. We had a massive campaign, British Jobs for British Workers, and that was central to our successful 2009 European election campaign, where we got two MEPs elected. And the rhetoric being employed by Keir Starmer is very similar to the rhetoric that was being employed by the British National Party at its height.
2.8 million people out of work on long-term sickness. A problem ignored, left to fester. One in eight young people not in employment or education or training. Sectors of our economy, like engineering, where apprenticeships have almost halved in the last decade, while visas have doubled. So we're taking...
That's another little wonderful nugget of information. Apprenticeships have halved, visas have doubled. And it's clear what he's saying. There is no investment in young British people. Everything is going towards mass migration. British people are rotting. No one cares about them. No one wants to give them a chance. Instead, everything is being covered by this swamping mass of people being brought here, or that were brought here, is what he's saying, by the Conservatives. And again, this sounds like something from a nationalist meeting. I know I keep saying that, but it is incredible to hear a prime minister, no less, talking in this manner.
Taking a different approach. We will publish a white paper imminently, which sets out a plan to reduce immigration. The Migration Advisory Committee is already conducting a review. And where we find clear evidence of sectors that are over-reliant on immigration, we will reform the points-based system and make sure that applications for the relevant visa routes, whether it's the skilled worker route or the shortage occupation list, will now come with new expectations on training people here in our country. We will also crack down on any abuse of the visa routes. For far too long, we've been casual about malpractice in our labour market, which sends a clear signal overseas that we're a soft touch.
Again, this is interesting, but it's starting to get a little fuzzy here. He's going to publish a white paper. There's going to be look at reform. They are going to assess different sectors to suggest where can we reduce migration, but where can we train British people? Now, he's also talking about abuse of the system, which is, again, good. But all this is legal immigration. Now, whereas you've had people like Nigel Farage and the Conservatives really hammering home that something must be done about illegal immigration, Keir Starmer's talking about legal migration. Now, for a long time, I've said illegal immigration is just the tip of the iceberg. The 50,000 people who are estimated to come here illegally every year are dwarfed, and they are, by the million people who are coming here legally, or the 906,000, according to the ONS, that come here legally. So really, if you were going to deal with one of those two issues as a priority, you would actually deal with legal migration first, because that's a far bigger problem. You know, you always deal with the biggest problem first because it's the most pressing problem. And that's what he says he's going to do. But this is where he's starting to get fuzzy. He's still saying things which would appeal to normal voters. And he's still talking in terms that you may have heard at a nationalist meeting in the past. But he, at the moment, is not presenting any definitive or serious answers. He's starting to get a bit fuzzy.
well, no more. Our rules will be enforced. Any employers who refuse to play ball, they'll be banned from hiring overseas labour. And I'm pleased to announce today a new security agreement between Iraq and the UK. This is a world first that will help us smash the people smuggling gangs and secure our borders. The Home Secretary has been out in Iraq to seal this deal, and we've also announced funding for Iraqi law enforcement to tackle this problem upstream.
Well, again, this is something else that will please people. What he's talking about here now, he's shifted to illegal immigration, and he's actually said, look, we're going to smash the people smugglers. We have been to one of these countries where a lot of people are coming from, and we're going to tackle this head on. So not only are we going to be reducing legal migration, we're actually going to the source of illegal migration to smash these people smuggling groups and to prevent people coming here. Do I think that's all going to come to pass? Well, we'll find out as this goes on. But again, he's actually talking in tougher terms than the Conservatives and, in many ways, reform.
Way before it reaches our shores. We're also tackling the utter mess we inherited in the Home Office. Asylum returns up 53% in the last 12 months compared with the previous year. Total returns up 34% in the last year. And we will keep on going because this is the work of change. And alongside the NHS and the economy, securing our borders is the issue that matters to working people.
Again, immigration is the issue that matters to working people. How many times have you heard people say this? I mean, recently, Nigel Farage's Reform Party did very well at the general election, first party to ever get candidates independently elected to Parliament on an anti-immigration ticket ever. You know, more successful than Oswald Mosley, more successful than the National Front, more successful than the BNP. And they called it the immigration election. They said immigration is the big issue. That is what Keir Starmer said. And again, he's throwing major shade here on the Conservatives, saying that one of the reasons people haven't been deported is because the Conservatives left the Home Office in a complete shambles and weren't really processing asylum claims or deporting people or really advancing anything. They were just letting it all build up and dumping people in the hotels. That's what he's intimating. You know, this was a growing problem. And that's because they didn't want to tackle it. He doesn't explicitly say that was part of the Conservatives' open border policy, but you could read into this that that is what he's saying.
You know, what people want from politics is not unreasonable. They want order and security, borders that we control, an NHS that protects you, an economy that offers secure work and good opportunities, not just for a few at the top, but for everyone. Let me say directly to the people watching, where the last government failed you, this one will not. They drove immigration numbers up. We will get them down. They left the NHS flat on its face. We will get it standing tall.
Now, I've got to jump in here, because he's saying where they failed you, we will fix this. Where they drove up immigration numbers, we will get them down. Now, that is a solid claim. He's made a pledge there to reduce immigration numbers. But he is being very fuzzy in that he's not saying by how many. He's not saying what would be an acceptable level of immigration. He is just saying we're going to reduce the numbers. Now, people will be rejoicing at that. That is what people want to hear. But what we really need to hear is what is an acceptable level of immigration, in his opinion, and exactly how he's going to reduce immigration and by what factor.
All again. They made you poorer. We will put more money in your pockets. It won't be quick or easy, but we are going to turn things around, not with gimmicks, but with graft. A government that will not rest until the foundations are fixed, borders are secure, and Britain is rebuilt. Thank you. And now...
Now he ends that on a sort of rallying cry when Britain is fixed. And he's clearly there making a speech. And it sounds relatively passionate for a prime minister. Usually when prime ministers make speeches, they are quite flat and dull. He did get into that a little bit. And again, he ends it on this high note of, we're not going to stop until Britain is fixed. Now, if you heard Donald Trump or Nigel Farage saying that, you could hear it coming out of their mouth. I mean, I can hear Donald Trump saying that, you know, he's so distinct when he speaks. You can immediately hear him speaking. And Nigel Farage is very distinct too, but these are not the words of a Labour prime minister. I think that's going to shock a lot of people. And I think that's, well, that's why I thought this was an AI generation at first. But let's see what goes on next. Now, he's done his speech. I've broken that down, but he's going to get asked some questions now from the press, because the press were there. It was a press conference, as I said earlier. So let's hear what the press put to him and let's see what his answers are.
Take questions. I think Chris Mason is first from the BBC. Chris.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Chris Mason at BBC News. The UK appears to have become addicted to immigration, despite the fact that millions of people for years and years have indicated that they wanted to see the numbers fall. Why should people believe you now that you can achieve something that predecessors have not? And one other question, if I may, apologies. Following the BBC's investigation into Mohammed Al-Fayed, should there be a review or an inquiry into the work of the Metropolitan Police, the Crown Prosecution Service that you led, into the failings that have left millions of people without the answers and the justice they might have wanted? Thank you.
Now, I'm not really sure why this guy did this, because he asks a good question. Why should people trust Labour on immigration? And I don't think they can, because one of the things that Starmer has conveniently left out here is the Blair regime. Now, the Blair regime brought in hundreds of thousands of migrants per year. They really, really ramped up immigration. And that was one of the reasons David Cameron got elected, because he said he was going to get immigration back into the tens of thousands, net migration back to the tens of thousands. He didn't, as we discussed earlier. And after the Blair regime was dissolved and the Conservatives got in, I think it was an interview with now Lord Mandelson, who basically admitted, we brought migrants here to rub the far right's nose in it. We brought migrants here because we wanted to change Britain and we wanted to get one over on people who were anti-migration. They admitted that. So this isn't the first time that people have, or politicians have, discussed letting migrants in as a deliberate policy. This has been discussed before, and it's been discussed in the light of Labour doing this. So while Starmer is very much pinning the blame on the Tories, he doesn't really want to admit that this policy of mass immigration has been not a Conservative policy, not a Labour policy, but a government policy, regardless of who is in government. So he's not admitting that. He's pinning it all on the Conservatives. Obviously, he's going to do that for political reasons. But it is a disingenuous point. Now, this journalist asks a good question. Why would anyone trust you? He also asks another question about Mohammed Al-Fayed. And that might be a reasonable question to ask at any other time. I don't know why these journalists do this. I don't know why they ask questions that are unrelated to the press conference. You know, if they've come to an immigration press conference, people want to hear about immigration. They want to hear solutions to the immigration problem. They don't want unrelated questions. If I was the prime minister, and somebody was doing that, I'd be a little bit annoyed because it diverts from the issue of the day. Anyway, let's see what Keir Starmer says. Why should anyone trust him?
Chris, on your first point, what is clear from these figures is really stark and I think should shock all of us, because the net migration figures in 2019 were 184,000. And then on the figures we've now got today, 4 years later, literally 4 years later, 906,000. Four times as many. This isn't immigration that's gone up by a few thousand. This is a policy under the last government that's driven immigration up to record levels, a complete loss of control. And that is why we've set out the measures I listed in the words I just said in relation to the action that we are taking. But there's a fundamental problem here, and that's to do with the way our economy works and the loss of control of immigration under the last government. We are going to turn that around with the measures that I have set out. On the question...
Now, he gives a very politician-like answer there. He reiterates that mass immigration in 2019 was 184,000, which is still far too high. Net migration being close to 200,000 is still far too high for a country of this size. But then he goes on to say, you know, it's up to 906,000. Now, earlier he said it was close to 1 million. I think then he was factoring in those other things and just sort of boosting the figure. So rounding up a bit to make the Conservatives sound even worse. He then tries to lay the blame again at the Conservatives. This is all the Conservatives doing. But remember, it's not. And he doesn't really say why anyone should particularly trust him, particularly over this, or Labour, the party that he is the leader of. He doesn't say that. What he does say is that the Conservatives really failed everyone. And this is another example of him being very, very fuzzy. And you can see here that he is hesitant to lay out any serious measures that would permanently curtail immigration. And that could be for a couple of reasons. You know, let's give him benefit of the doubt. We probably shouldn't, but let's just do this. A lot of these migration deals that were made by the Conservatives might not be reversible or might not be immediately reversible. Some of them were tied to trade deals. So there was a massive trade deal with India, and that included a large degree of freedom of movement between India and the UK. And as I've said, the largest number of immigrants to enter Britain in the year that we're talking about came from India. India was the largest contributor to mass immigration in the UK. Can that be immediately undone? Can Starmer immediately undo that? If there's an agreement, a trade agreement, it's all been signed. That agreement might last 5 years. It might last 10 years. I don't know how long it lasts for. I'm just throwing figures at you. But he might not be able to undo that. That might be a legal mire that he can't actually deal with. And there's also the issue that many of these visas are student visas that are done through the education system. Is he going to be able to stop that? Now, the argument is he's prime minister, he's got a massive majority, he can do anything he wants. But the reality of people actually being able to do anything they want, yeah. And does he really in his heart of hearts want to restrict immigration? I would say that the Labour establishment doesn't really want to reduce immigration and that this is just a political ploy. So bear all of those things in mind. Now I think he goes on to answer that extra question, which is nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Of Al-Fayed, look, I think we need to firstly give confidence to anybody who wants to come forward that they should come forward and then assess the situation when we see what the final picture is. Thank you, Chris. Beth.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Beth Rigby, Sky News. Prime Minister, in the year to June 2023, net migration was the same amount as it was in the 3 years of freedom of movement up to the Brexit referendum vote. People feel incredibly let down by their politicians. You say you want to bring it down. What does that mean? Will you bring it down to levels of the low hundred thousands that we saw in 2019 or 2013, 14, 15? Or can you also not do that because of your need for economic growth? Thank you.
Well, Beth, when you say people have been let down, you're absolutely right, because they were promised by the last government that it would get control of our borders, and we had a government that completely lost control of our borders. And this sort of increase is unprecedented. It's off the scale, what has happened in 4 short years. The way to get it down is the hard graft, not the gimmicks, but the hard graft of driving it down on the skills agenda, Migration Advisory Committee, making sure we're cracking down on employers that are breaking the rules, taking all the measures I've set out, measures that will have an impact on our immigration, which I do want to come down significantly. It needs to reduce. But these numbers, this four-time increase, That wasn't just bad luck post-Brexit. That was their policy. And they drove immigration up. And as I say, we discovered a £22 billion black hole. We discovered that the prisons were in far worse shape, much fuller than we thought before the election. And now today, what we found is another incredible legacy failure, which is record numbers of immigration. It's our job now to turn it around, and we will. Thank you.
So there again, he gets asked a very specific question. What do you think is an acceptable number? You know, are you looking to bring this down back into the low hundreds of thousands? And he can't answer that. He won't answer that. He doesn't want to put a figure on it. In fact, he spends most of his answer rubbishing the Conservatives. And he reasserts himself that this was deliberate. The Conservatives did this deliberately to bring about changes within the UK. So again, he's back on the, this is the great replacement. He hasn't called it the great replacement, but that's what the great replacement is. And that's what he's saying. This is the great replacement. It was carried out by the Conservatives. They did it deliberately. The numbers are out of control. Britain's a complete mess. They've screwed it all up completely, but he won't. And I've said this a couple of times, his answers get quite fuzzy now. He won't actually commit to a figure. He won't actually say, right, our aim is to get it down to 200,000 or 300,000 or 150,000. Or like Cameron and May did say, right, we want it in the tens of thousands. He won't give a figure. He refuses to do that. And he keeps saying that they're going to do all these wonderful things, which he wasn't too clear on what those wonderful things were, other than there's going to be a white paper. And that, you know, they may well come down on businesses that abuse the system, etc. But he isn't exactly covering himself in glory at this moment, and he won't be pinned down on the numbers. And, you know, what we're going to do at some point is we'll discuss that a little bit later.
Thank you. And Amy from ITV.
Thanks. I'm Amy Lewis from ITV News. Prime Minister, you obviously today to talk about immigration. Are you going to set a cap on net migration? And if not, how will the public know if you've been successful in delivering your promises? And just a follow-up question, if you don't mind, on what's potentially a landmark day tomorrow with a sister dying. Has your view on this changed since you voted on it in 2015?
Yeah, look, I want to see immigration come down significantly. And I said that before the election. I said that during the election. I say it again here today. So that means bearing down on the influences that have driven it up this high with the measures that I set out a moment ago. We had a supposed cap in place for the best part of a decade, and it didn't have any meaningful impact on reducing immigration. So I don't think setting an arbitrary cap, which is what previous governments have done, is the way forward. But do I want it significantly to reduce? Yes, I do, and that's what our plan will achieve. In relation to assisted dying,
we'll stop there before he gets on to the unrelated question. But again, this journalist actually asks a very pressing question. The only way to do this is to set a cap so we know what you want to get immigration down to, and then we can tell whether you've been a success or a failure. Have you hit your target or have you failed? He refuses to set a cap. He says other governments have done it. That didn't have any effect. He says there's no point setting what he describes as an arbitrary number. Again, this is all quite fuzzy, and we're going to come back to this because I think I know what he's going to do here. I think I know how this is going to play out, and I'll give my thoughts on that at the end. Now he's going to answer this unrelated question, which has nothing to do with the press conference.
Look, the vote is coming up tomorrow, obviously. The government is neutral on this. And it is a genuinely free vote for all members of Parliament, and I don't want to put pressure on them. I've obviously got a huge amount of interest and experience in this, having looked at every single case for 5 years that was ever investigated. I will therefore be casting my vote tomorrow. Thank you. Chris, GB.
Chris Hope, GB News. You say you want net migration to fall significantly, Prime Minister. The OBR, which forecasts these numbers, forecasts 315,000 net migrants arriving here but until 2028, 2029, nearly twice the number in 2019. What level are you happy with? Will you cut it back to 2019 levels? And when will that happen by?
Well, Chris,
just a quick one here. He's asking the same question. He's saying, you know, what are you going to do? What's your target? But he's actually added something to this. You know, what's the target and what's the time scale? What are you trying to achieve and in what time scale? And again, Starmer's not going to answer this question.
Want and are intending to drive these numbers down. They're far too high. They signal a loss of control. And that's what these policies are designed to achieve. And that's why the white paper will be published imminently, bringing them together as a plan. I'm not going to pluck an arbitrary number because that has been tried many years in a row and it has achieved absolutely nothing. And what I'm not going to do with the British public is adopt an approach which we know has not succeeded and pretend that it's going to succeed. I think the days of fiction and pretending there are easy answers are over. These are the days of hard graft. Thank you, Chris. Kate, from...
Again, just quickly, he didn't answer the question. He said the time of easy answers is over. I'm not going to put a time scale on it. He's not going to put a cap on it. He's not going to use arbitrary numbers. He loves that term. You know, the time for easy answers is over. This is the time for hard graft. So what started off as quite a strong press conference sort of falls to pieces a little bit when he starts getting asked serious questions about numbers, timescales, and genuine policy.
Times.
Kate McCann from Times Radio. Figures released today show that the asylum system is costing £5.4 billion in the last year. How much of that money has been spent on asylum hotels, and can you guarantee the British public that that spend will be zero by the end of next year? Thank you.
You see, this is a question that, you know, is unreasonable in a way. She say, can you guarantee that not a penny will be spent on this in the timescale that she's come up with? Now, at this point, he's going to be fuzzy and he's going to put all the blame on the Conservatives, I should imagine. So let's see what he says.
Must bring the cost of asylum down. And we have a manifesto pledge to bring the number of hotels down, to end the use of hotels, which we are driving hard at. The way to do that is to increase the processing of claims. Among the reasons that so many people are in hotels is because for a long time the claims weren't being processed. So more people arriving, none of them getting processed, and an ever-increasing pool of people that then had to be accommodated some way or another. That was completely unsustainable. We've transferred 1,000 staff into the processing and returns work of the Home Office. So a significant redeployment of staff in, which is driving up the processing claims. And, of course, when it comes to returns, we've returned 9,600 since the election, and we have got more flights off in terms of the numbers on flights than has ever been done before. So it's processing in the first place. It's making sure that we can do the returns on the other and deploying 1,000 staff in to do that vital work. And that's why their numbers are so significant. Jack at the side.
Before this last question, he actually answers that pretty well. He says, look, this is the Conservative Party's fault. They weren't processing the claims. Claims were backed up because they were running this open border system. They didn't have anywhere to put these people. They put them in hotels. We are deploying extra staff. We're processing claims. We want to deal with this problem. I can't give you an exact time scale where it's going to be dealt with, but we want to reduce this and we want to reduce it as quickly as possible. Then he makes this claim that since he's got in power, he's deported, I think he said, 9,100 people, and that more flights than ever will be leaving, that he is actually deported more people, he's saying, than, you know, really any other government has done before, any other prime minister has done before. And that's a pretty bold claim. He's more or less saying that as a Labour prime minister, which is not what you expect from Labour, and I'm sure it won't please a lot of Labour Party supporters who are ardent multiculturalists and, I would say, anti-whites, he's basically saying that he is the deportation prime minister. He's got the best record, he claims, on deporting illegal migrants. And he's deploying an extra 1,000 members of staff to speed this process up. Now, I didn't think she'd get an answer to that question because I did think that the question wouldn't be something he'd be able to immediately answer. But his answer is, again, a lot stronger than I'd have thought. He's actually not that fuzzy on this, and he's given definitive figures. And when you think about it, look how much money Rishi Sunak spent on the Rwanda plan. I think one or two people were deported. It cost about $300 million. And he's coming out and saying, well, look, basically, Sunak sent two people to Rwanda and it cost the taxpayer $300 million. Well, I've been in since July the 4th and I've sent 9,100 people back, and I'm going to send even more back because I'm deploying 1,000 extra staff to get this done.
Jack. Thank you, Prime Minister. Jack Elson from The Sun. You've spoken today largely of immigration as a matter of economics, but many voters are concerned about the cultural impact on their communities. Is this an argument which you are sympathetic to?
Look,
now, this is a good question, because this is something that he hasn't talked about. He's talked about mass immigration in terms of economics. He's talked about mass immigration in terms of bringing people here and then neglecting the development or training of British people as a result. But he hasn't talked about one of the big problems that normal people have with mass immigration, which is obviously the cultural change. You go to places like Bradford, you go to places like Dewsbury, and you see these areas have completely changed. Towns have been completely altered on a cultural level. So they're no longer English towns. They look as if a town from Pakistan has sort of been airlifted here and put in Britain. And there's really no trace of English or British culture in those places. And this will be an interesting question for him, because he's been very, very focused on this idea of economics, but he doesn't want to talk about culture, or he certainly won't be talking about the racial or ethnic aspect of this, but he doesn't even want to talk about culture. But let's hear what he's got to say.
I have looked at it mainly as a matter of economics, because if you look at the breakdown within the very high numbers we've got today, very many of them are work visas. But look, in terms of the question you put to me, I do in principle think it's right that we should ensure that we've got the skills and training for people in this country for the jobs that we need. And that is among the drivers of this, that we haven't got the skills regime in place that allows young people, but not just young people in this country, to have the skills that they need and the skills that employers want in order to take us where we need to on the economy. I think the two don't go together, because I think people in this country are entitled to have the opportunity of the skills here. I think businesses are entitled to know that there's a skills strategy that will actually satisfy their...
I'm just going to stop it there briefly. He's completely waffled here, and he refuses to, or has up until this point, refused to address the question. The guy said, are you sympathetic to the idea that mass immigration culturally changes Britain? And he's just waffling on about immigration, training, young people's skill sets, nothing about culture.
Their needs and their demands. Matt from The Times.
Thank you. Matt Dathan from The Times. You've just announced there'll be new expectations on firms to train domestic workers. Other than the restrictions on visas, what incentives or sanctions will there be? And are you promising British jobs for British workers?
Well, I think it's...
That's a good question. He's actually, I think I said that earlier, that this sounds like a British jobs for British workers speech. And here you have this guy from The Times, and he's saying, are you saying British jobs for British workers? Are you basically coming out with the British National Party's 2009 election pledge? You know, we built our 2009 election campaign around British jobs for British workers. And is this what Keir Starmer's saying? So let's hear what he has to say.
For too long, we've had this over-reliance on the easy answer of recruiting from abroad, and that's got to change. And it's a two-way street. We want to support employers. Of course we do. We want to grow the economy, and I don't want to make it more difficult for businesses. But at the same time, and as I've said to them previously, they have to be involved in ensuring we've got the skills we need in this country and the places that we need them. That will come partly by devolving skills, getting more employers and local representatives involved in the skills strategies that we need. And so, you know, it is right that we have the skills available to people who live here, the opportunities that they want to develop their working lives and give the employers the skills that they need near them for the jobs that they need doing. Thank you. Rajiv from The Guardian.
Rajiv Sal from The Guardian. I'm over here, promise. Nigel Farage said that Donald Trump hates the Chaos deal. Is he right?
And that's where the clip that I've downloaded comes to an end. I downloaded this, and that's probably a good place to come to the end, because the questions are getting more and more similar. Now, again, Starmer doesn't specifically say British jobs, British workers. He sort of shies away from that. But he does say that we need to train our own people, and that migrants should only be brought here if we can't train our own people. If our people can't do the job, then he says that more or less should be a route then for migrants to get visas. But migrants shouldn't be getting visas to come and work here and do jobs that our people could be trained to do. Again, that's a very sort of nationalist argument. You know, that is something I've heard people say again at nationalist meetings. Why aren't we training our own people? Why aren't we training our own people to do these jobs? And that brings it to a close. That reviews pretty much what Keir Starmer had to say. So let's do a little bit of a breakdown and let's discuss how this is going to affect different groups. Firstly, let's talk about how this is going to affect nationalists. Is this going to cause a mad rush of people wanting to sign up to nationalist groups or nationalist parties? How will this affect us? Will this propel us in any way into the mainstream? Well, on one hand, this is very good. This is a politician admitting what we have said for decades. He's basically said, in a nutshell, the Great Replacement is not a conspiracy theory. It happened here in Britain. It was deliberate government policy, and he called it an open borders experiment, a social experiment to change the makeup of Britain. That's what he said. That's a big win for us. And it's a big win for us because we are characterized as these crazy conspiracy theories. Well, it isn't a conspiracy theory, but it was a conspiracy by the Conservative government. According to him, I would say by successive governments, but he pointed the finger at the Conservatives. It was a conspiracy, and that conspiracy was to raise, as a deliberate policy, immigration numbers to the point where we're at, where we're getting nearly a million migrants coming and staying here. Net migration of almost a million people. That's explosive in itself. That is good for us. And it's good for us in another way as well. Now, I've sat in trials. I sat in Sam Melia's trial, and I watched a debate between Sam and the opposition barrister who made the case that Sam was a conspiracy theorist and that the Great Replacement was fake. It wasn't something that was happening. And I saw an expert witness who worked for Searchlight magazine or with Searchlight magazine come in to present evidence that the Great Replacement was a conspiracy theory, that it's dangerous, that this wasn't deliberate government policy. And I heard a judge, or the judge in that case, sum up and say that Sam's rhetoric was dangerous because by spreading conspiracy theories, that hampers the Conservative government's ability to reduce immigration. Well, here you've got the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, saying they weren't trying to reduce it. It was their deliberate policy to increase it to these giant levels and to basically bring about an open borders experiment. If Sam's trial wasn't held back in February this year, but was in fact taking place now, would this have altered the outcome? Well, maybe. This will definitely have an effect, and it may even present some form of legal defense for people in the future who are potentially arrested or persecuted for using terms like the Great Replacement or white genocide. So this is very interesting, and that is a good thing for us. So on one hand, it may legally make a difference. On the other hand, we're right. We're proved right. Will it cause millions of people to join us? No, it won't. In the past, other prime ministers have made speeches, not as strong as this, but in the same vein as this. And those things have undermined nationalists. In 1979, Margaret Thatcher was extremely worried that the National Front were going to pick up both Labour and Conservative votes, campaigning against mass immigration, demographic change, open borders, etc., etc. And she went all out to court those voters to take the National Front's policies. And she famously made a speech saying that she understood people's fears of swamping migration, and the National Front, their vote collapsed and the party fractured and was destroyed in the wake of that election. So these things don't tend to work out well in terms of bringing us lots of new recruits or helping ethno-nationalist parties at elections. In fact, they tend to do the opposite. But in this case, I think there are positives to what he said. Now, how do I think this will affect the political landscape? Well, I think this will be something perceived to be quite positive for Starmer and for the Labour Party. And it will be very, very negative for the Conservatives. Now, Keir Starmer's obviously a white guy. We've been watching him now for quite some time on the screen. He's a white male. He's a white male who's quite well spoken, and he commanded himself quite well during that press conference. His opposition is a black female that everyone loves to call Kemi, but her real name is Olukemi Olugoke Adegoke Badenoch. And she describes herself as essentially a first-generation migrant. Yes, she was born on British soil, but I think she spent the first 16 or 17 years of her life in Nigeria and America. And she said quite openly that she regards herself as a first-generation migrant, effectively, because she wasn't brought up in Britain, even though she was born on British soil. Now, a black female leader of a party that has driven net migration up to 906,000 in a single calendar year. She was part of that mess. She's a migrant background herself, quite obviously. She regards herself as a first generation migrant. Is that going to go well? No. I think this will hurt the Conservatives. I think her as a leader will hurt the Conservatives. This speech will hurt the Conservatives. This revelation of immigration numbers will hurt the Conservatives. Where do I think those Conservative voters will go? I don't think they'll start voting Labour. I don't think they're all going to endorse Keir Starmer. I think what this will do is essentially prevent Labour voters disappearing from Labour, some of them anyway. I think it will cost the Conservatives quite a number of votes. I don't think the Conservatives will have a comeback to any of this. I think the Blair regime is largely forgotten by many people. So what do I think will happen to Conservative Party voters? I think they'll bleed even more voters. And I think a lot of those voters will either stop voting. Many of them, however, will go to reform. I think this will present potentially an opportunity for Nigel Farage to capture some Conservative Party votes. But really, this will be something that stabilises the Labour government and will probably be something that turns around their fortunes whilst hurting the official opposition and preventing the official opposition from gaining any real ground on them. So that's where we are. And in terms of reform, I think more Conservatives will start looking towards reform. But Nigel Farage will obviously have to up his game on immigration. When Starmer's talking like this, will he be willing to do that? Probably not. Now, what effect will this have on the public? Well, this is also bad news. Now, I know people in the chat are going to say things like, Mark, come on, mate, things are different now. The public aren't just going to be fooled by Starmer like they've been fooled countless times before. And my response to that is never underestimate the public's ability to be placated or fooled by words from politicians. just don't ever think that the public are beyond going back to sleep. I think lots of members of the public will see this. They will like the honesty. They will like the fact he's saying he's deported more people than the Conservative government. They will like the fact that he's actually pointing the blame and saying, look, these people deliberately did this, and that he's pledging to get numbers down. So I think from a public point of view, this will probably calm tensions. This will probably put some people back to sleep, and it will probably convince lifelong Labour voters that they were right for voting Labour, that the Conservative Party are the real problem and the solution is the Labour Party. It plays back into that two-party system. So in terms of public awareness of immigration, this will be something that absolutely cements in people's minds who are already waking up that there is a problem with immigration, but it presents the suggestion that the establishment itself is aware of these problems and willing to deal with these problems. So this is an attempt to keep the public on the reservation and to damage the Conservative Party. Now, what effect do I think this will have on demographics? And I suppose that's what we are all here for. Now, the first thing to say is Keir Starmer is not our friend. He's jailed thousands of people after reforming the justice system to make sure people went to jail for posting things on social media and for committing very minor actions in anti-migrant protests. This guy isn't our friend. This guy is not one of us. He's not a nationalist. I don't believe this is coming from a good place. And he's also conveniently left out of his attack on governments that speeded up mass migration. The entire Blair regime, and the Blair regime were famous for their endorsement of mass immigration. Now, as I've said, mass immigration is not a Labour thing. It's not a Conservative thing. It's an establishment thing. And Labour and the Conservatives make up two wings of the same bird. They are both part of the establishment, and they have both endorsed an increased mass immigration. You can see mass immigration, you know, gradually rising and then spiking with the last government, but it has risen under successive governments, regardless of which party has constituted that government. So he's being disingenuous there. He's absolutely not the answer. And I'm not endorsing him. He said things that obviously I agree with, that I'm happy that he said, and he's talked in a way that is surprising for an elected politician, let alone a prime minister. I've said that several times because it is shocking what he has said. I couldn't have predicted he was going to come out and say this. But do I think he will reduce mass immigration? Yes, I do. Do I think he'll reduce it in a way that's going to turn around the demographic shifts happening in this country? No. And that's the key thing. This is the rub here. He was very, very fuzzy when talking about numbers. And he was very, very fuzzy, even fuzzier when talking about timescales. Now, the problem you have is this. When mass immigration starts hitting 1 million net migrants, reducing that mass immigration by, let's say, half, well, on the surface, cutting immigration by 50%, cutting net migration by 50% would sound like a complete win, but it's at a million. So cutting it by half would mean there was still 500,000 migrants coming to live permanently in Britain every year. And over what period is he going to cut migration? And this is the issue, isn't it? When something gets so out of control, when the numbers get so big, people rejoice at a reduction, but what you're left with after that reduction is still completely unacceptable. But people will cheer that. Let's say that over the next, because this is going to take time, and as I said, there are going to be legal obstacles to some of this, because some of this immigration is tied in with trade deals that I'm sure just can't be immediately undone. You know, they've been passed into law, they are binding. And, you know, billions of dollars ride on them. So they're not going to be undone. And even if somebody wanted to undo them, I'm sure they couldn't just be undone overnight. And migration is also tied in to all sorts of visas, including student visas, which are dealt with, I think, by individual universities. So there's lots of problems with this. Is it going to go down to zero? No, it's not. I think it might be reduced over a couple of years by, let's say, 20 or 30%, maybe a bit more. And I think coming up to the next general election, he might have got it down by 50%, 60%. Even if he got it down by 70%, it would still be 300,000 net migrants per year, which is a huge number. But if he can go back to the public in 2 years' time, because people are going to give him a bit of grace. People are going to say to him, look, you know, he's made this speech. We've got to give him some time to implement the policies he's talking about. And he's already dragging things out. You know, we're going to publish a white paper. We're going to convene these meetings. There's going to be, you know, special committees on all of this. And then we're going to start making changes. So let's say in 2 or 3 years, He's reduced net migration by 20-30%. And in 4 to 5 years, when he's coming up to re-election, he's reduced it by half. He will be able to say to the public, I've reduced net migration since I've been in power by 50%. And lots of people will be happy with that. And he will say, look, I've done that and I can get it down lower if you give me more time. And this is the problem. This is the problem. I've often described successive governments as being like people sat in a car, driving the car towards the edge of the cliff. And that edge of the cliff is when we, the indigenous Brits, white Britons, dip under 50% of the population and become, instead of being a majority, the largest minority. Now, you can say this. The Conservatives were probably at about 90 miles an hour. Let's say that. And let's say Keir Starmer cuts the speed. He takes his foot off the accelerator. And his government's 50 miles an hour, 500,000 migrants per year he gets it down to. Well, you're still heading to the edge of the cliff at 50 miles an hour. You've just slowed the process slightly. You've not turned the car around. You've not started driving away from the edge of the cliff. And that's the problem. To actually turn around the trends that we're seeing at the moment, a reduction isn't good enough. In fact, not even Farage's net zero is good enough. What you would need is a complete halt to immigration and a robust policy of remigration. And other than deporting a handful of illegal migrants, that isn't going to happen. And when it comes to deporting illegal migrants, I wouldn't be surprised if those same illegal migrants weren't back in Britain within 6 months of being deported. And then they'll just have another crack, or just not go through the asylum system at all, and just disappear into the ether, eventually, you know, benefiting from some kind of amnesty when a future government inevitably enacts one. And that's the issue here. This is a matter of calming people down. This is a matter of reducing tensions. This is a matter of making it look like the government cares and delivering something that will placate the people. And it's very easy to deliver something to placate the people when the problem is so huge, you know, when the numbers are so big. You know, if Starmer gets it down to, you know, 700,000 or 600,000, you can say, look, I've reduced it by a third. And that would sound great in terms of a headline or a leaflet going through people's doors. Labour cut immigration by a third. Give us more time and it will go down even further. And when you look at the current demographics of the UK, and this is very important, the best figures to go by actually are the primary school figures. And I did a video on this a couple of weeks back. You can find it in the feed of videos I've produced. And that video showed that for children aged 5 to 16, white Britons only make up 61.3% of the population. And for primary school children, which is 5 to 11, it's even worse, 60.9% of the population. That tells you how close white Britons are to being a minority in two of the most key age brackets, the future of this country, effectively. And by current trends, it looks as if, well, if current trends continue in schools and primary schools, white British children will be a minority in the 5 to 16 year old age bracket by 2035. That's a decade. So once that's happened, it is only a matter of time until we're a minority in the country as a whole, because children obviously grow up. And he hasn't said he's going to end migration. He says he's going to reduce the numbers. So as those children get older, they'll be joined by more migrants coming in. Now, it might be for a short period, fewer migrants coming in than the last Conservative government let in, but it will still be adding more to the total, and it will still be affecting the demographic shift. Now, that's a pretty bleak outlook. I've got to admit, that's a pretty bleak outlook. But he is an establishment politician. He is Sir Keir Starmer. He is a central figure in the establishment, and he's absolutely an establishment man. And because of that, I think that this was all a very carefully crafted speech, effectively a publicity stunt. It's something to calm tensions, to placate the public, and to ensure that the demographic shifts aren't brought to a halt, because what this will do is calm people down. The demographic shifts will continue, but just at a slower rate for a short period of time. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this video. I hope you've enjoyed the style of this video and the breakdown I've done. And if you want to check out my other recent video on demographics, the demographics of Britain schools, please do so, because that will give more context to all of this. Anyway, thank you for watching. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.